It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Tuesday morning, everyone. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy Rios today. Good to be with you on the day after the debate. We had the debate on Sunday night. Yesterday, you had the spectrum of hand-wringing and opinions about who won the debate and who's going to continue to support Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera. I was traveling back from the West Coast yesterday, so it gave me lots of time to kind of digest the spectrums of opinions out there. And I was able to get a Wall Street Journal yesterday, and the lead editorial, here was the headline from this editorial, A Path to President Pence. Now, basically, it went along this line. Getting too late to change the ballot. We all think that Donald Trump is going to cause the Republicans to lose. So the suggestion from Scott Gant and Bruce Peabody, the writers of this opinion piece, were, all right, Donald Trump has to come out and he has to say, my name's going to be on the ballot, but I promise if I win, I will resign immediately and Governor Pence will become president of the United States. And they go through quite a long editorial, say constitutionally, that's all allowed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that was one side of things. Basically, have Trump put himself aside in the wake of the, of course, controversy that broke out, so I guess since last Friday, on the Trump comments in 2005. And the one thing that everybody seems to agree on is that Trump's remarks were totally, totally, totally unacceptable. But where the division is coming, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised in that by now, is within the conservative movement about what should happen now with Donald Trump. So that was the lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal yesterday. Also got to listen to a little bit of radio on that trip back yesterday. And some interesting comments from people who were being interviewed actually on Tony Perkins' program yesterday on American Family Radio. One of the guests that Tony had on had this to say, is that people need to keep in mind, forget about the personality of Donald Trump. What they should be voting for and should be focusing on are the platforms of the two parties. And the basic thrust of that opinion was, you know, Donald Trump's remark, yes, deplorable. But look at the party platforms. Compare where the two parties stand with regards to life, pro-life, on what the Republican Party platform says, fully endorsing the pro-life movement, so much so that pro-life leaders have certainly endorsed Donald Trump, versus what the Democratic Party says, full support for Planned Parenthood. So that was another opinion that was out there. Of course, there were many more. Yesterday, House Speaker Paul Ryan basically saying that while he won't remove an endorsement for Donald Trump, he will no longer support him. And I think the interpretation there being when Donald Trump makes certain controversial remarks. So that was out there yesterday. And that led people like former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate Mike Huckabee was responding to that yesterday, the revolt, I guess, inside the Republican Party against Donald Trump. I should say the ongoing revolt. Mike Huckabee saying basically there are a lot of people like Paul Ryan who are afraid about Donald Trump being elected because he is going to change the status quo of how the Republican Party is going to run. And after all, I think that is why Donald Trump was successful in the nominee race over, 16 other candidates, is that because there is a large segment of Republicans who are tired of the status quo. It is why that he continues to generate huge crowds wherever he goes. Thousands of people coming out to see him. One of the largest turnouts in primaries in the history of the Republican Party because of Donald Trump. And Mike Huckabee, in an interview with Megyn Kelly, I guess it was last night, basically saying that, you know, the Republican Party establishment likes certain things the way they are right now, and Donald Trump doesn't represent that. So you have some incredible dynamics that are going on right now. Of course, no surprise in reading the mainstream media yesterday that basically the Republican Party is through because of Donald Trump, and that, you know, the best thing to do is just to put up the white flag and let Hillary Clinton win. So there's a segment of that out there. So interesting what happened. Donald Trump went back out campaigning yesterday, continued to get large crowds. Of course, what we're not hearing, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, the mainstream media talking a little bit more about these leaked emails that have come out. A little bit more on that this morning. Very, very interesting. Breitbart reporting on a speech that Hillary Clinton made to a foreign bank. And listen to what she had to say there. In closed-door remarks delivered to a foreign bank, Hillary Clinton declared that her, quote, dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders. My dream is a hemispheric common market, open trade, open borders, sometime in the future, with energy that is as green and sustainable as we get it, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere. And she goes on to obviously praise that whole idea. Now, that flies in conflict with supposedly what she has said on the campaign trail. And this is interesting. We're starting to get more and more proof that she'll say certain things behind closed doors to certain groups. You know, the praising of Wall Street and the admission that she says certain things in private and then says something else in public. So here's more proof of that, that being reported by Breitbart this morning. Very interesting. In this report from Breitbart, it also quotes Bill Clinton in 2007 praising the benefits of open borders, and also in a speech that Bill Clinton gave in 2003, where he called for the establishment of a global community, praised the openness of our borders to immigrants, and declared that America has great obligations to open our borders. Clinton said that he believes the formation of a genuine global community, complete with an overarching system to regulate it, to be the great mission of the 21st century. Now, that is what Breitbart is reporting this morning. You get a worldview in that, folks? So when Hillary Clinton says, you know, some protecting American jobs, she's really not telling the truth, because what she's saying behind closed doors is she wants this open hemispheric trade zone. All right. Open borders. Her husband, Bill Clinton, saying the very same thing. Absolutely amazing, folks. You get a picture of the real worldview of Hillary Clinton. So what it comes down to in going forward, by the way, 4 weeks from today is Election Day. 4 weeks from today. So you've got 28 days left. And the question is going to be, will conservatives step back from their marks? Donald Trump apologizes for that. What is going to happen? The alternative is Hillary Clinton. And that is what's being weighed on the hearts and minds of many Republicans, many conservatives. What is going to happen? There are some conservatives who have said publicly they're going to withdraw their support. They cannot support Donald Trump anymore. Others are saying, look at the very big picture, because the alternative is Hillary Clinton. Also, in the news this morning, very interesting story in Fox News about the new Smithsonian Museum that honors the history of African Americans. Strangely enough, maybe not, is it totally leaves out the contribution and the fact that the United States Supreme Court has Justice Thomas Clarence, as he celebrates this month 25 years on the United States Supreme Court, there is no mention in the museum of Justice Clarence Thomas. Isn't that amazing? Shannon Bream, Fox News reporter, gives us the details on that story.
He should be celebrated. His life should be celebrated. It certainly should be celebrated at this museum.
But the brand new National Museum of African American History and Culture makes virtually no reference to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, the second African American to sit on the nation's highest bench. That stands in contrast to displays for Justice Thurgood Marshall, which include pictures, history about his life, and quotes from some of his opinions. Mark Paoletta, a former White House attorney who helped to shepherd Thomas through the confirmation process, says it's fitting to honor Marshall. But not doing the same for Thomas is, in his words, a deliberate snub.
Clarence Thomas has his own views. That's his sin. He believes in individual rights, not group rights. That's led him to oppose racial preferences, and for that, he's banished. And in, you know, clear dictatorial thought sort of police, he's disappeared like the communists used to do back in the Soviet Union.
Anita Hill, who accused Thomas of sexual harassment, is featured in the museum. In fact, that's the context in which Thomas is mentioned. Quote, in 1991, Anita Hill charged Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas with sexual harassment.
Museum officials have not responded to questions about why Thomas is virtually absent from this new museum. But just days ago, in an interview with our own Brett Baer, Rex Ellis, the man responsible for planning and overseeing the collections, said this about the museum's mission.
The Smithsonian has had a reputation for years of being a convener, of bringing disparate groups and opinions and ideas together to talk about and to grapple with in ways that are beneficial.
Even Chicago Tribune columnist Darlene Glanton, who says Thomas has, quote, spent the last 25 years on the court protecting barriers and putting up new ones designed to stifle blacks and other minorities, adds, like it or not, Thomas is an historical icon. He deserves a prominent spot in the new museum. In Washington, Shannon Bream, Fox News.
And our thanks to Shannon Bream for that report. So you see what the gentleman who was quoted there, who said, was in charge of the design of the museum, that the Smithsonian has this long history of bringing together people with various points of view, except if you're, in this case, in this African-American museum, except if you're Clarence Thomas, who arguably is the second most powerful African-American in the United States behind President Barack Obama. But as Shannon Bream was saying in that report, the only mention of Clarence Thomas is in connection with Anita Hill, who, during the hearings for his approval, the Senate hearings, Anita Hill accused him of being sexist. Just put it in that word. Of course, the charges that she made were never proven, and Clarence Thomas was approved. So there you have it. So you have to ask yourself, wait a minute now, Clarence Thomas, the second most powerful African-American in the country today, he replaced Thurgood Marshall on the United States Supreme Court, yet he is not, the only mention of him was in the Anita Hill display there at the new museum, which was opened with great fanfare just a couple of weeks ago by President Barack Obama. Isn't it interesting? You see, Clarence Thomas, like Ben Carson, does not fit the narrative that the liberals want out there. He makes practical sense. Clarence Thomas has been known as a conservative on the bench. So basically, we don't want to talk about him in this African-American museum. But that's where we are today, folks, the Great Divide. In this United States of America, that's what this election is all about. Back with more in just a few minutes. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. We'll go to Washington in just a few moments, get reactions to all of this, followed over Donald Trump and what people are saying in Washington. Back in a few moments.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. there's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
In April 2013, my daughter committed suicide, and I had spoken with her every morning at 7:30 in the morning, and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself at that time every morning when I knew I should be talking with my daughter on the phone. So I decided to turn on the radio and see if I could find some comfort with a radio program or a station, and I came upon your radio station. And at that time, Dr. James Dobson does his radio show between 7:30 and 8. And it has been such a blessing to me because I now again have something to do at 7:30 in the morning. So you guys have been a real blessing.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting October 18th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Vita Tonga of Hurst, Texas, tore his ACL happened a week ago during a high school football game. Vita had to have knee surgery on Friday, but on Saturday, he was back on the sidelines in a wheelchair, cheering on his teammates, the Blue Raiders of L.D. Bell High School. When it came time for the national anthem, the players stood at attention, hands over their hearts. They put Vita in the front of the line in a wheelchair, but the young teenager refused to stay put. With his leg bandaged and braced, he lifted himself out of that chair and joined his teammates in honoring our nation. Vita's dad, Charlie, was there, got a bit emotional watching his son's patriotic gesture, said the national anthem means something to their family. You see, Charlie's dad came here from Tonga, and it's a refreshing reminder there are still football players who are proud to be Americans. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Listening to another great commentary there from Todd Starnes. Todd Starnes was a featured guest on Saturday night at the event I attended in Southern California with the Pacific Justice Institute. Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad Dacus, just a terrific organization of Christian lawyers defending First Amendment rights. They honored Todd Starnes at their dinner on Saturday night and also heard a great speech from Dinesh D'Souza. And if you've been out to see his latest movie about Hillary Clinton's America, interesting speech. And he is one of those that certainly does not agree with some of the comments from Donald Trump, certainly the ones that came out on Friday, but also called upon that crowd to consider the alternative. As I say, if you've seen his latest movie on Hillary Clinton, the real agenda there is control, more and more government control over our lives. And that's where this debate is coming down to. There's this division in the Republican Party. Not happy with his remarks, and that I think there's almost kind of universal agreement they were wrong. But where the divide comes, Donald Trump has now apologized. Let's move on and let's focus on this election. Let's focus on the alternative to Donald Trump, who is Hillary Clinton, and what she may do to this country. One of those who's watching this very carefully in Washington is our good friend Gary Bauer for Campaign for Working Families. And Gary joins us on the line right now.
Hey, Fred, how are you today?
Oh, not too bad. As I was telling the folks traveling back from California yesterday, I had an opportunity to read the spectrum of reaction amongst conservatives. The Wall Street Journal, I'm not sure if you read the lead editorial there. There were a couple of writers suggesting that Donald Trump come out and promise the American people if he wins, he'll immediately resign and let Governor Pence be the president. That was one point of view. There's the Paul Ryan comments yesterday that he's not going to support Donald Trump. You know, what's interesting, Gary, is I was just talking to one of our producers here before we came back from the break. You never see this kind of explosion amongst Democrats. I'm sure if you were to poll Democrats, not everybody likes Hillary Clinton. And a lot of people are worried about Hillary Clinton, her kind of open borders attitude, that sort of thing. But on the Republican side of things, there just seemed to be in the DNA this desire to implode upon itself. And it is quite amazing when you look at all of this, particularly this historic election that we're experiencing right now.
Well, Fred, you just hit, I think, the key point in all of this. Hillary Clinton and her top aides have spent the last several years, everybody with half a brain knows this, they've spent the last several years engaging in obstruction of justice, basically destroying evidence, taking sledgehammers to cell phones, using this ACID program to wipe emails clean. They got the Justice Department to pressure the FBI to destroy Clinton computers so that nobody could see them later, all to cover up her egregious, reckless handling of classified information. Not one Democrat at any level of government went to a microphone or called a reporter and said, "I might be a Democrat, but this is just unacceptable. This is about the national security of the United States." It is pitiful to see, on the one hand, how the left will lock arms and close ranks, and on our side, among Republican leaders particularly, the first sign of trouble, there is a fight breaks out to see who can run out the door the fastest and head to the tall grass.
is it a case that the Democrats understand better than many Republicans that winning ensures power and the ability to make change? And is there something missing amongst Republicans? They just don't understand that?
Well, look, I have a sneaking suspicion here. By the way, maybe friend is too broad of a word. I certainly know Paul Ryan fairly well. We've been known each other for years. We've been in many meetings. He's a wonderful guy. I think Paul Ryan should head up a think tank because he approaches politics as if Mr. and Mrs. America is sitting around at their dinner tables, not worried about their mortgage payment, not worried about whether their factory is going to close, not worried about the illegals pouring over the border, but worried about the fact that there hasn't been a white paper put out by some think tank on the great wonders of this or that. This is about politics. You don't get to put your ideas in unless you win elections. Now, look, I've got a couple daughters. I've got three granddaughters. I would never use the language that Donald Trump used in this tape that's 10, 11 years old. I would just say to your listeners, those that are fuming about that or worried about it, that tape won't even show up in American history. It is beside the point. It has one purpose, the release of that tape and this really emotional reaction in the media and so forth. It's got one purpose, to try to make sure that suburban college-age women vote for Hillary Clinton and this is just as important, to suppress the vote of values voters, of evangelicals, and of serious Catholics. to confuse enough of them, maybe 1% or 5% of them, so that Hillary Clinton gets to put the next three or four Supreme Court nominees on the court, who will then put into place everything that evangelical and value voters despise, fear, and are trying to resist with all their might, over a tape with a couple of really bad words in it. We're going to give the country to the left, and they will have it probably, Fred, forever, but certainly will have it for the next 30 years after the Supreme Court appointments.
You know, I think one of the highlights of the debate on Sunday night was this issue, and I'm glad the moderators, not big fans of what a lot of the line of questioning on Sunday night, but one of the things they did ask, and maybe it came from one of the audience members, was about Supreme Court nominees. And as many conservatives have said, it may not be the biggest issue, but it's got to be one of the key issues people have to keep in mind. Whoever gets the White House, it basically is also going to control, obviously, the nominees for the next coming years for the Supreme Court.
Yep, it was right toward the end of the debate, and it may have been the most important exchange that took place. I don't know how many people were paying attention at that time. But, Fred, have you thought about this? When did the left become such prudes? you know, when Bill Clinton was doing things I can't say on family radio with a 20-year-old intern in the Oval Office, The left and the media said his personal sex life should not be involved in politics. He was in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
The left gets huge donations from Hollywood that put out movies regularly that coarsen our culture, that objectify women, that present women as sex objects. Hillary Clinton has gotten massive donations, and so did Barack Obama, from the Motown music industry, who have young kids humming and singing the lyrics to songs that, again, I can't hum or sing on this radio show without you guys getting into trouble with the Federal Communications Commission. And now the left is upset and angry and horrified that Donald Trump used inappropriate words about women. They've never been horrified about that. It is all a political ploy to make sure that Donald Trump does not upset the, quite frankly, bipartisan establishment that has been running Washington, D.C., and has caused our borders to be open, has caused none of the issues we care about to be dealt with in any meaningful way. I mean, I would say to, people like Paul Ryan and what he did, why don't you just, I think Laura Ingraham said this a little while ago on Fox, why don't you just go do a phone bank for Hillary Clinton? Because Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump's going to be president. If it's not Donald Trump, it's going to be Hillary Clinton. So just go on and do a phone bank for her. That makes as much sense as saying that, you're only going to worry about down ballot races.
Mm. You know, it's interesting how the mainstream media, of course, is focused on those remarks made 11 years ago. But also the WikiLeaks, the latest email leaks that have come out. Breitbart this morning has a headline, "Leaked Hillary Clinton speech to foreign bank." Quote, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders." And apparently she made that speech to a foreign bank. She said, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders sometime in the future with energy that is as green, as sustainable as we can get it, powering growth and opportunity for every person in the hemisphere." So there you have it. You know, she talked the other night again about trade, about doing great things for American workers, but she's talking about a hemispheric trade zone. Get rid of the borders altogether, not only affecting trade and jobs here in America, but also when she talks about open borders, immigration. So it's absolutely amazing. You'll see that on Breitbart this morning, folks, but you won't see that anywhere else.
Well, look, this is, I'm going to write about this today in my daily report. What Hillary Clinton is imagining and looking forward to and dreaming of, what she just described, and this is not an exaggeration, it's the end of the United States of America. there are hundreds of millions of people in the third world that live in very difficult situations and want to come to the United States. And Hillary Clinton just said, my dream is that we'll all be able to come to the United States. It's not a coincidence that when she was asked who she admired most on the world stage, she said Angela Merkel of Germany, who just invited an Islamic invasion from the third world into Europe and is now shocked that German women are being raped and sexually assaulted by men coming from these third world countries that have been taught in their cultures that infidel women, you can do anything to you want to do. So the issues here, Fred, are so huge. I'm getting calls from college-educated, really smart, young evangelical Christians saying, well, Gary, I mean, shouldn't we just wait for 4 more years and then we can get an evangelical in? Folks, the next presidential election won't matter. Everything we believe in will have been ruled unconstitutional. And the courts, the judges that will be on the court will be young, appointed, left-wing judges that will be on 30, 40 years. The Bible verse, be wise as serpents, it said. We need a little bit of that. I'm not going to ask Donald Trump to lead my Sunday school class. That's not what we're picking here. He has pledged pro-life justices. He has pledged he will secure the border. He pledged that he'll stop the trade deals that have gutted middle America and cost us millions of manufacturing jobs that working-class whites, blacks, and Hispanics used to get and used to be able to build lives around and raise their families with. These are huge, huge issues, and I just hope, if nothing else, that men and women of faith will not lose sight, not take their eye off the ball, and focus on a tape with language we all don't like. He's not an evangelical, folks. This is not breaking news. Donald Trump is not an evangelical, but he's broadly speaking on our side. And Hillary Clinton is devoted her life to opposing and destroying everything we believe in.
So, one of the polls this morning I saw has Hillary Clinton up 11 points. Can this be turned around? We're 28 days, 4 weeks today is the election, 4 weeks from today.
Yeah.
In your opinion, Gary, you've been in politics a long time, been part of the Washington Circle up there. Can this thing be turned around?
It can be turned around. That poll is an NBC, I believe, Washington Post poll. It took place before the debate, and it polled 500 people nationally. I mean, that poll has the same purpose as the release of this tape did, to suppress our vote, to demoralize us. He's definitely down. I don't believe he's down double digits. He's the only candidate, in my view, that could have been nominated that would have even put Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan in play. They've got a huge problem with working-class voters. If evangelicals and values voters turn out in massive numbers, and if he's able to get a larger percentage of the black vote than previous Republican candidates, we could have a huge surprise on election night. But not if we sit around and talk ourselves out of it, and not if Republican leaders continue to show that they're cowards.
Gary Bauer, always a pleasure talking to you. How can people get that daily email that you send out?
They can go to OurAmericanValues.org.
OurAmericanValues.org. Thank you so much, Gary. Always
great
a pleasure.
Great to be with you, Fred.
Take care.
You too.
You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Your turn now, folks, to sound off on all of this. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call on Sandy Rios in the Morning. 4 weeks from today for the election, folks. Where do you think it's all going? We're back right after the break.
Are you having trouble with today's headlines? If you would like to have them make sense from a biblical perspective, come on out to Understanding the Times 2016, Saturday, October 15th, at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside Minneapolis. You can hear Anne Graham Lotz, Amir Sarfati from Israel, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, and Bill Koenig remind you that things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place. There's no cost or registration needed. Find information, including hotels, at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. Be a part of a ministry that monitors today, but always with an eye on tomorrow and Christ's return. Olive Tree Ministries, Understanding the Times 2016, Saturday, October 15th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I'll hope to see you there.
When God wants to get something done, He often chooses someone very ordinary to accomplish the extraordinary. Nehemiah held a unique position that God used to bring about His purposes. This week, Alistair Begg begins a new series telling Nehemiah's story. Listen Monday through Friday to Truth for Life with Alistair Begg.
Truth for Life, weekday mornings at 11:30 Central on AFR Talk and online at afr.net.
There's a lot happening around us. That's why Christians need to stand strong on family values and morality. Hi, I'm Ray Rooney, editor of The Stand, a blog from the American Family Association. The Stand has timely, carefully written articles on relevant cultural issues that you can quickly forward to others. The Stand is a beacon of light to a society in need of direction. Visit afa.net/the stand.
I listen to AFR all the time, and a radio in the house doesn't know any other channel. Every morning I wake up with Dr. David Jeremiah and all of the preachers and all of the talk show hosts and everyone. So enjoyable. Couldn't do without you. Praise the Lord for you.
AFR has made such an impact on the way we spend God's money. I can trust AFR to let me know where those needs are and helps me to know that I am not putting his money in places where it may not be handled properly. AFR is where I get all the information I need to know about what's going on in the world.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we are back to this Tuesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. Yeah, the election, 4 weeks from today, 28 days. The country has to make up its mind about whether it's going to be Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, whether it's going to be which party platform is going to be running the country. You know, we just were chatting with Gary Bauer and mentioning that he's going to be talking today about this Breitbart revelation of Hillary Clinton's speech to a foreign bank where she said, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders." So that's where she stands on the issue. What's very interesting, and this is part of a broader global agenda, the Breitbart story this morning also says in a 2003 speech delivered to Yale University, Hillary Clinton's husband, Bill, called for the establishment of a global community, that's in quotation marks. He then praised, quote, openness of our borders to immigrants and declared that America, quote, has great obligations to open our borders. Clinton said that he believes the formation of a genuine global community, complete with an overarching system to regulate it, think global government, to be the great mission of the 21st century. So there you have it, folks, the ideology of the Clinton family, apparently. Open borders, open trade, and how did he describe that? An overarching system, a global government. Now that is where they are. And the more these emails that come out about her speeches and the content of her speeches in private versus what she's been saying on the campaign trail, the two don't mix. But you know what? I think the belief is that what she says in private is what she really thinks. And she basically said that. Remember in the first emails that were released there just a few days ago, that sometimes she has to say things in public. She has to do her politics very different from what she says in private. And I think you can interpret that as saying, I'm going to tell the public what they want to hear, but then when I get elected, this is my real agenda. That would appear to be the case. And certainly her husband, Bill Clinton, a globalist, certainly agrees with that. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go first to Louisiana, and we say good morning to Carol. Carol, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad at all. Go ahead.
I would like to remind people that perhaps we don't have an evangelical in Donald Trump, but we do in Mike Pence, who will have the ear of the president. Also, we're all praying for Donald Trump, and the mistake that the left makes is that they always calculate without God.
Mm-hmm. No, that is right. And I think that point has been made by some evangelicals that we have to remember that, you know, and certainly in Mike Pence, and I'll go back to that vice presidential debate a few days ago, I have never heard a political candidate, certainly for vice president, be so clear about where he stands as being an evangelical Christian and unapologetically pro-life. And you'll not see that anywhere else. I haven't seen it even amongst Republicans who have been candidates for a vice presidential office or president office. To Texas now, and Barry is on the line. Barry, good morning.
Good morning, Fred. What's going on, man?
Well, we're staying busy here, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, dude. I wish I could stay up for 24 hours a day because, man, it don't stop.
That's but for sure. Go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Well, it just seems to me, and I've been mulling this over all weekend long. I've actually put it out on Twitter and both Facebook as well. And no one seems to be saying what first came to mind with me, and is, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I mean, really, why do we need to hear more about Hillary Clinton's bad habits and lies? That if we don't already know that, then we're being willfully blind.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump's a human being. We all make mistakes. Again, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That's all I needed to say.
All right, Barry, we appreciate that, and that is so true. You know, Donald Trump, he has apologized. Now, you can have a debate. Is he sincere about this? Is he being a politician? But publicly, he has apologized. It was pointed out that Hillary Clinton has not apologized. Remember on Sunday night, amongst those in the crowd on Sunday night were that woman who at 12 years of age was raped, and Hillary Clinton was the lawyer for the person who carried out that rape, and how she laughed about how she downgraded his sentence and charges. Nothing much there. No apologies from Hillary Clinton for that. But, of course, I hope in this election cycle most Americans have learned the mainstream media is totally in bed with Hillary Clinton. That is the bottom line. And they are not going to tell you the complete truth about Hillary Clinton. And they're not going to hold Hillary Clinton accountable the way that they attempt to Donald Trump. To Mississippi and Valissa, I believe it is. Valissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
I was thinking about 28 days to election. And you know, choosing our president is not hard. We've got the Democrats, we've got the Republicans, but we shouldn't consider neither one, but the platform mm-hmm. that they represent, and consider Jesus and what he would do if he was voting. He's pro-life. He's pro-marriage, God's way, one man plus one woman. And he is pro-Israel. And it's not hard. If a Christian would just look at it, it's not hard. It's quite complicated. And we've got to look. We just got to thank God for Donald Trump because he did put on his big boy pants. He apologized. And he did not make excuses saying, I made a mistake.
Hmm.
He did not excuse his behavior.
No, that is right. But you know, there are some people, I think, Valissa, that, like our last caller was saying, that he, without sin, cast the first stone. And I guess a lot of people like to be judgmental. And again, we hope that Donald Trump is sincere in his apology. But it's something that happened 11 years ago. I was listening to an interview, I guess it was on Saturday night on Fox, with Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. And, of course, he was asked about the revelations that occurred on Friday on this tape. And like many other people, it's, you know, appalled by the remarks. But at the same time, drawback, bigger picture, the alternative, if people don't come out and vote, the alternative is Hillary Clinton and her agenda. And that's not even a partisan thing. That's just a factual thing. If you don't vote for Donald Trump, then it's you're voting for Hillary Clinton and her agenda. And it's very plain to see what her agenda is. So the mainstream media, if you want to know what Hillary Clinton's agenda is, the mainstream media will certainly tell you that. Of course, they'll praise it. They'll frame it in a very positive way. So there's ignorance is no longer an excuse. You can find out where both candidates stand on the major issues. And if you're looking for a trusted news source, may I say onenewsnow.com. Onenewsnow.com is a great place to go if you want to see the Christian perspective on this election campaign and find out the whole truth. You need to find these things out, folks. You need to find out. There are election guides out there that will give you details on where the candidates stand on all this issue. So there's not really any excuse anymore. Unlike the olden days before internet and that sort of thing, there's no excuse anymore. If you want to, you can find out where the parties stand on these major issues and make your choice from an intelligent point of view. All right, let's continue on with our calls to Arkansas. And Ron, go ahead.
Hello, Mr. Fred.
How are you?
I am so thankful for you and your organization there.
Thank you.
I want to use an analogy, and I'd like for your listeners to seriously think about this, that you're in your house, you've just had a big party, you've built a big house, and you've got a party going on for grandma, and your kids are there, your little kids, some of them in wheelchairs, whatever, and in the middle of the night, you're tired. Everyone's asleep, and then you hear someone say, "Fire! The house is on fire!" And you call 911, and two big fire trucks come roaring out, one on one end and one on the other. And then you have three people there come running up with water pistols. You know, are you going to ask now? You know, what did you say 10 years ago? What kind of bad words did you use? Or are you going to say, take that fire truck and put my fire out, save my family, save my home? You're not going to vote for one of those people with water guns just because that you think they're better. You know that one of those fire trucks is Hillary Clinton, one of them is Trump. And they're the only two that's going to make any difference at all. Mm-hmm. And you know that Trump may have some water in his truck.
Right. Well, Ron, you're an advocate, obviously, of the big picture that some people are saying. Keep an eye on the platform of the parties, what it's going to mean, and less on the personalities of the individuals who are running. All right, to Indiana and David. David, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What are your thoughts?
Good morning. The gentleman stole my thunder when he said, let he who's without sin cast the first stone. But and I wholeheartedly agree with that. But the other thought I had was that there are so many self-righteous people out there that think that they're so much better than Donald Trump because of what he said and did. And that goes along with the let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I guess our prayers need to go toward people whose eyes have been just clouded by the deception and lies of the Clintons over all these years, and understand what happened in the last 8 years with Barack Obama. And if that's carried on, this country's, EMTs have a phrase, it's called CTD, when somebody's CTD. This country is circling the drain. Hmm. And it's going to go down if we don't get Trump into office.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, there are evangelicals that have surrounded Mr. Trump. We're talking about Dr. Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. He has Ben Carson and Governor Pence, and they are unapologetic in their stand for Jesus Christ. And, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for Donald Trump. We need to be praying for Hillary Clinton. They would come under Holy Spirit conviction, because just as we say, ignorance of the political issues is not an excuse anymore. Ignorance of the gospel is not an excuse anymore either. And that ought to be a focus too of our prayers, praying for both candidates and praying for God's will to be done in this election. And, we've got 28 days before this election. So if you haven't started praying yet, now might be a really good time to start. Sherry in Illinois. Sherry, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Hi, Fred. I wanted to say there are two things I would like Donald Trump to seize upon that Hillary Clinton has said. One is when she calls her emails a mistake. They're not a mistake. A mistake is taking the wrong turn. She made an overt, negligent, irresponsible decision. And he needs to paint that as a picture of her leadership and her character. And he did a good job in the debate of saying his recent issue was with words, hers were actions. That's a good point, and I would like him to draw that out. Sorry, I walked up a bunch of stairs. I would like him to draw that out and point out that she didn't take responsibility for Benghazi. She said, what difference does it make? Hmm. And I think if he could throw that line back at her and say, my difference is, I'm owning up to this. Your difference is, you don't think it matters. And he needs to really extrapolate the pain and the negligence of her leadership with respect to Benghazi. And that comment, because she made it a point about her stamina and her qualifications, and it's not.
Hmm. Very good, Sherry. We appreciate that. I think we have time for one more call. Let's try to squeeze that in. Mark in Kentucky, good morning. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Fred, you're doing a great job, and maybe not quite as animated as Sandy is, but what a great job that you're doing on an issue, on a topic, on the situation of our day. And I could say a lot, but the previous callers covered some of it in terms of focusing on the big picture. And what I want to point out is the amazing, if not hilarious, little example that happened while I'm listening very carefully to the program this morning on the radio, and all of a sudden, I guess because of weather or whatever, another station barges in on what I'm listening to. And I'm going, wow, what is this other station? Oh, it's another Christian station playing standard Christian program, and it's overriding what I'm wanting to listen to. Mm. I had to tune in to this program on the internet so I could continue to listen to what really matters.
Good for you, Mark. We appreciate that so much, and that's a great reminder, too. If we don't have a radio station in that area, hey, we got AFR.net where you can hear us 24 hours a day. Hey, it's been fun. Be with you this morning here. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy on this Tuesday, 4 weeks away from Election Day. Are you ready for it? Have you made up your mind? There's lots of information out there to help you see the issues clearly. And you'll hear much more about that here on American Family Radio Talk throughout the day. Have yourself a great day. God bless. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.